Hare Krishna, Hari Bol.
Let me, before I start, ask if there is a translation. Alila Purushottama conducts a translation into Croatian and so on.
Hare Krishna.
I would very warmly like to welcome all of you for this birthday celebration of this very insignificant servant of yours. I'm very happy to sit amongst all of you, and I want to also take the opportunity to greet all of those of you who are now switching on their computers or who have done so already and who are with us through the help of modern technology. I know that a few devotees really desperately want to come. Some are lying in their beds where they give birth to children. Others are just by circumstances in life on a very tight schedule and can only be with us for this lecture maybe. And still others are for various other reasons not there. So welcome our internet devotees, Hari Bol. You're very much welcome to participate. Before I start, I want to say I'm most happy here at Govindakund under the banyan tree, where Madhavendra Puri, a great guru of our sampradaya, sat and chanted the holy names of the Lord after he had performed Govardhan Parikrama. Madhavendra Puri sat exactly at this spot, under this tree. Some say it's the son of the tree. In other words, the very old tree has left, but he left a son. That is the tree. For the month of Kartik last year, I was so fortunate to be sheltered by this tree, and as I was looking from exactly this spot, I would see first Govindakund and then a little bit in the distance Giriraj. There would be many parrots flying back and forth and also a lot of monkeys. But as I told many of you, after the fourth day, Krishna heard my prayer because these monkeys were really disturbed that I was sitting under their tree. But Krishna heard my prayer and sent me a monkey bodyguard who communicated with the other monkeys in very, very firm language so that they understood and left me alone and just passed by me on the right side and looked at me and later accepted me as one of them. Hare Krishna. It's good to be accepted from the Brijvasis. Yes, I must really tell those who had the idea, and Kuvalishaya Vishwakarma, who is the hands behind, who has realized the idea. I really want to thank you very much. I must admit, what can I say? I like to live with half of my brain in Vrindavan, and I hope one day with all of my existence. I like to be and practice this, so when I'm reminded of those places and also those personalities who are most dear to me in my life, then I just feel happy like a little child. For me, in my own life in Krishna consciousness, I have made a journey which I think you are entitled to know about. And that journey is from the outside to the inside. By now, I feel that the inside world and the inside reality is even more important and interesting than what the senses can tell us of this world. I feel that Krishna consciousness is something which happens or has to happen within the consciousness of a sadhaka, practicing devotee. And by Krishna consciousness, the consciousness or the inner life has to be slowly spiritualized. Just like iron which is placed within fire becomes fire, also in our life we slowly want to become fire. And the first thing which has to catch fire is really the mind, the inner life. It's very important. If one only has an external Krishna consciousness, and it's not going to work. Prabhupada said so nicely, Krishna consciousness means the mind. No, the mind has to be purified. The level of consciousness. Yes. So, I'm sorry to be a little long, but I'm very, very happy to be here at under Govindakund. I feel just nothing is missing because all of you are here, and I'm now very motivated and inspired to share with you my, yearly little Vyasapuja address. I want to talk about that which is really in my heart at this and what I feel I can share with you. See, you see all of me as your guru. Not many of you are gurus from other spiritual masters, but you know how I'm seen. And I see myself quite differently. I see myself as a servant of Srila Prabhupada. But still, a servant who has to do, or who also wishes to do by now, a certain function that is to lead you on in your spiritual life. And therefore, obviously, today where you are most tuned in to our relationship, it's the one day of the year where a disciple tries his best to tune into his discipleship. Today I want to tell you something which I feel is important. I do hope that Gaurahari's recording machine is working, because sometimes in important hours technology is showing that it's only a human tool which is available. It works? Good. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskatyari Satarine Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitansha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanda Namorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sudhi Devi Panamami Praviviye Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vadadhari Jana Vallabha Giri Vadadhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vadadhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Namo Rama. Hare Hare.
Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Rama, Hare, Rama.
Oh,
Coming from England to here by plane, I met a very wonderful devotee who studies in Oxford. On the way, as I said, I was very tired after preaching like a storm in England, and in England means you have not a second time for eating and sleeping. It's so many wonderful projects and devotees. So I slept shamelessly in the airport on this, on three seats, and then I heard Gaura Hari to say hi, Paul. And I answered almost, je préfère dormir. I prefer to sleep, you know. But he said, no, we have to go, and there is a surprise for you in the airport. And I woke up and I see this devotee. And so we go, this devotee from Oxford who studies there, we go together to the airport, to the airplane. And then I say to the devotee, I think about going to Zagreb and coming for my birthday and seeing all of you. And I want to tell him what is in my heart. And I say, you know how I feel? I'm a black ant on a black stone in a black night in a dark universe. But my spiritual master found me. So I'm saying this to the devotee, and the devotee, he explodes in a smile. I thought, what's so funny about this? I thought maybe he's just happy that we can see each other again. And he said, I have a surprise for you. And then we walk to the airplane, and then before we get on the airplane, he gives me a card in a piece of in an envelope. And because I'm naturally extremely curious, I immediately open the card and I find the sentence: "I was a black ant on a black stone." In a dark night, in a black universe, but you found me. Signed by Rumi. So he had written that also to me. Huh? So as I was thinking about this, I remembered one of the essential teachings of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which is a teaching which totally puts all our understanding of our life upside down. It's a very strong teaching, and you will require oxygen to understand it and your best concentration, because it's really philosophical. He says that we are actually in the illusion that we are the drishta, and everything else is the drashta. The drishta is a Sanskrit word which means the seer, and we are in the illusion that we are seeing things, that we are perceiving things and doing things, and everything else is this drashta, that is the scene or objects which we move in this world. However, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur continues, the actual fact is that we are objects to Krishna seeing. He is the ultimate drishta, and we are, like everything else in existence, the drashta, the seen. It is Krishna who moves us, Krishna who sees us, Krishna who perceives our desires, and Krishna who fulfills us, fulfills them or does not fulfill them. It's not us who are in control. We are the instruments, he is the mover. He is the mover and we are the moved. He is the shaker and we are the shaken. We are not really the ones who do things. We desire things, but the one who fulfills them is Krishna. Nityo nityananam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadhati kaman, do the Upanishads teach us. We, amongst all those who are eternal, Krishna is the supreme eternal and fulfills the desires of the many. So, in my lecture today, I want to talk about practical implications of this. And I want to, I have entitled the lecture, Coming to the Turning Point. I feel if a devotee comes to the turning point of understanding that Krishna is the supreme and he is only an instrument in his hands, and Krishna has found him in this dark universe, and Krishna has sent this, an arrangement, the servants of his parampara, to claim them or him or her, huh? Then the whole life becomes extremely nectarian. So listen very carefully, and don't worry, it won't be too complicated. It's very practical what I want to tell. Let us start with Ashraya. Krishna tumar hana yadi bale kabana maya banda hoite Krishna tare kare para. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, my dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. When Prabhupada celebrated Yamashtami in Hamburg, there was one of my godbrothers asking him a serious question. Prabhupada, How long does it take before we can be in Krishna consciousness and be with Krishna again? And Prabhupada answered in a way which made me wonder for many, many years. He answered this question by saying it can happen immediately, in less than a second. Or it may not happen after millions of lifetimes. I do remember, I was not yet in the temple, and I missed my chance to meet Srila Prabhupada in Hamburg, but I listened to this tape many, many times and read it, and I always, when it came to this answer, you can immediately become Krishna conscious or not after many millions of lifetimes. I used to wonder, immediately? I mean, does he just say this to encourage us? Or how is it possible? I used to think about this immediately a lot. I think in Croatian you say sada, now. Huh? One is and here again in this verse it happened. One is the word is there. One is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, "My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today is my turning point." Turning point is my way of saying this. Huh? Then I used to think after, well, so I just have to say this and then I'm out of Maya? Okay, let me say it. I will try it. So I sat down before my deities. I closed the door so that no one would find me and disturb me. I took all the phones off and I just sat down and said it. And I thought, do I feel different now? The next day I ate too much and I slept too much and I could understand I was still in Maya. How does this work then, this immediately becoming free? Well, there is a verse in the Bhagavatam which is also quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the context of this subject matter, which helps us to understand about this immediately something, or the process of Krishna consciousness. The verse I will read to you in Sanskrit. Vilajamanaya yasya statum iksha patemuya vimohita vikatante mamaham iti dudija. This verse talks about Maya and how she feels towards Krishna. The verse will tell us that Maya is really ashamed to stand before Krishna. That Maya cannot be there where there is Krishna. The external illusory energy of Krishna, known as Maya, is always ashamed to stand in front of Krishna, just as darkness is ashamed to remain before the sunshine. Now the verse will tell us whom Maya can get. However, that Maya bewilders unfortunate people who have no intelligence. Thus, these people simply boast, they praise themselves, that this material world is theirs and that they are its enjoyers. They, in other words, are in the wrong concept. They see, we are here, everything else is objects of our enjoyments. These people are in Maya. The other people who think, I'm here, Krishna sees me, and I pray to Krishna that he is with me and guides me. I will serve him. These people are in a different consciousness. They think of themselves as drashta and as Krishna being the drashta. There's another translation which I want to read to you, which tells the same thing. The illusory energy of the Lord cannot take precedence. Cannot take precedence means it can't... oh my God, this is a difficult word. Precedence. It can't take a superior position and start to control you. The illusory energy of the Lord cannot take precedence, being ashamed of her position, but though when it stands before Krishna, but those who are bewildered by her always talk nonsense, being absorbed in thoughts of it is I and it is mine. So, let me explain it more simpler. When you invite the son of Krishna in your life, and you just connect to Krishna as your ashraya, your shelter. At that time, the darkness of Maya cannot stand in your consciousness. It has to go. Krishna, if you connect with Krishna, and now I mean Krishna, not what you think Krishna is. I mean, if you connect with Krishna as he is revealing himself through his devotees, as he is seen on the altar, as he is present in offenseless chanting of the holy name, as Krishna comes through these mesocosmic agents into this world, the holy dham that reveals himself. If you connect to that Krishna who comes through his internal potency in this world, right? Then you have the sun in your life and the darkness will go. Maybe in the beginning there will be a little bit darkness, that means a few material desires are still there. And maybe Krishna will even fulfill you these material desires. But ultimately, if you keep Krishna in the forefront of your attention, these material desires and other obstacles have to go. Avidya and its resultant agents have to leave. That is the idea. Prabhupada had a way to put everything very comprehensible, even for those who are not thinking regularly in philosophical ways. And he said, where there is sun, there is no darkness, right? That was the motto of his coming, the motto of his Krishna consciousness, which he wrote, or Krishna consciousness movement, which he wrote down on the headings of his Back to Godhead magazine. Wherever there's Krishna, how is it? Maya is like darkness and Krishna is like the sun. Wherever there is Krishna, the darkness of Maya cannot stand. Something like this. My dear devotees, I want to repeat what I said yesterday in the disciple meeting, because 50% of you have already started to forget it. You can do millions and billions of sadhanas, spiritual practices. But the main thing in your life is that you connect with your ashraya, that you take shelter. Krishna will not be impressed by your sadhanas if you don't offer them to him. This is explained in the Sharanagati prayers, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur asks this question: whose prayers does Krishna hear? Or, more simpler, when does Krishna hear our prayer? And he says, he hears the prayers of a surrendered soul who connects with Krishna in devotional surrender. At the moment where you take shelter in Krishna, Krishna sees here is a helpless soul. Here is a black ant on a black stone in a dark universe. But I have heard that he has called for me. I have heard this. I have noted this. The Adi Purana even says that Krishna has a list of names in his heart, which he keeps in his heart, and these are the names of those who chant his holy name, Hare Krishna. Yes! You know, do you know what you keep in your heart that is most precious to you? You may say, no, what you keep in your trésor is most precious to you. But you can't keep your wife in your trésor. I mean, she will protest, or your children in the trésor, or your guru in the trésor, or Radha and Krishna in the trésor. And the money, when you love like money, like some of you do, then you also keep that in the heart. So Krishna keeps a list of names in the heart of those who chant his holy name. He hears them if they chant in a name in the way of devotional surrender. That's very important, that they chant attentively and they connect with Krishna. That's very important. That you saw yesterday how so many devotees were there. I mean, it really helps the program when there are devotees, you know, I have to say. Spiritual energy is much higher. But there were also many people who started to become interested in bhakti yoga, and also total newcomers to it. And did you notice how doing that Hare Krishna kirtan, I could see the magic work? Did you note? No? Yes? No? We could all see. Yeah, we could feel it also. And the people could feel it. Because the chanting was done in a nice way. The chanting was done in a serious way. They were informed that what this is, this chanting, that is glorifying of Krishna, that you have to be attentive, you have to just hear it, and then you have to sing, you know. They were informed some basic understandings which need to be there so that the wonder can work, that connectedness. And then they were truly joyful and made a truly Krishna conscious experience in their life. I personally liked also the Nam Yagya very much, because there we had a little bit more time to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is my je préfère the Hare Krishna Mantra, of course, because I'm a Gaudiya Vaishnava, or try to be, je préfère, it is a very it works. It really works. Mm. This point of taking shelter, where Krishna hears, this person really wants to call for me. This person, like a child who calls for the mother, is calling for me. The Krishna is, oh yes, 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 I heard you. Yeah, yeah. No. The Krishna is moved. He is not indifferent. Gleichgültig. He's moved. He's truly moved. And then Krishna knows, alone this person cannot become a devotee. Or cannot, let me say, overcome the strong influence of Maya. He or she needs my help. And at that moment, when the devotee turns to him, I call it the turning point, huh? Then Krishna sends you superior spiritual energy, by whose help it is possible for you to do the otherwise impossible. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna talks about this. He says, if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all obstacles of conditioned life alone, on your own strength. No, it's not right. But some of you are sleeping, so I wanted to see Let me say it again. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. It's not on your own strength that you can come become a devotee. It doesn't work like this. So, Ashraya, very important, my dear devotees. If you only remember one word from this Vyasa Puja, Ashraya, take this word with you. If you only remember one syllable, then remember Shri, the syllable Shri. It's the verbal root of Ashraya. It means to depend on. If this is too complicated, remember Srimati Radharani, who's totally dependent on Krishna. Who has taken shelter to the utmost, huh? Krishna, it's such an important point that Krishna says again and again, under my protection, my devotee reaches my eternal abode. And there are two examples which I would like to give you. Parikshit Maharaj, who had only 7 more days to live. When Shukadev heard it, he said, "Oh, 1 week, that's enough. No problem. We can help you." You know, again he went to this point of immediately, that it's possible immediately. And he said in the Bhagavad, Shukadev said, "That's enough, you know, we can help you." He said in 2.1.12, King Pramatasya Bahubhi Paroksha Hayaneha Varamuhutam Viditam Gatate Shreyase Jata. He challenged really the life of this dull life, where you're not taking shelter in Krishna. He said, "What is the value of a prolonged life which is totally wasted, inexperienced by years in this world? Better, much better is a moment of full consciousness, because that gives one a start in searching after his supreme interest." Be conscious of what is going on. You are a part of Krishna. You have left, unfortunately, this relationship and are now in the material world, and you are struggling here in a body and a mind with innumerable material desires and wrong concepts and avidya and so on. And you just have to come to this turning point. I left you. I've forgotten you. But in full consciousness, not just some half asleep words in a class, you know, or half asleep words. You have to really understand, "My God, here I am, and I'm turning now towards you. Please accept me." Have you ever broken a relationship foolishly and you did something really foolish which hurt someone, and you become aware of this, and you become aware of the person who is your well-wisher and who meant so well, but you misunderstood, and you became envious and angry and foolish? I think many of us don't live a very intense life, but I had once done this with a very well-wishing friend, and then he died, and I couldn't say good. I couldn't make good because I was too proud to make good while he was alive. So then, when he had left the body, he had left a letter for me where he had given me good instruction. It was a devotee. No, I will not tell you the name because it's too painful for me to remember this. He left the body, and I read this letter where he had given me very first class instruction in Krishna consciousness. And all of a sudden I noticed, my God, what a fool I was. How young, foolish, and angry I was. Oh no, oh no, oh no. I could understand this, and then I went before his picture, and I just prayed very much to him, and I very much prayed and was fully conscious, and I felt afterwards some relief, and I have never forgotten this place. Yeah. So this is an example. Now you may say, like, Ranga Devi asked a wonderful question yesterday. Have you noted it? She said, immediately I have to just fix a desire to serve Krishna. Will it work? And I said, yes, you have to be fully conscious in it. Then it does. And but it's such a subject matter that I think all of us are not yet convinced. So Shukadev Goswami knows this. Shukamuni, as they say in Vrindavan, knows this. So Shukamuni is giving now an example of the great Kshatriya king Kadvanga Maharaj. Kadvanga Maharaj, as you might know, was a great fighter. You know, very, very ferocious fighter, and a great accomplished soul, and was invited by the Devatas to fight with them against the Asuras. And due to his strength and ferocious battling, the battle was won. And then Kadvanga Maharaj was very much the hero of the Devatas, and they offered him a blessing. Kavanga said, before I ask you for the blessing, can you just tell me how much longer I have to live? Then I will ask my blessing. Devaktas made a calculation. I said, one more second. Thank you, said Kavanga. He went back to planet Earth, and he now used this second to become Krishna conscious. And at the end of it, he was Krishna conscious. Here is the verse for you, in case you don't believe me. Katvango nama raja shirg yatve yatam vihayusha muhutat savamustritya katavang abayam harim abayam means Abayam Hari means the Lord who gives fearlessness. Here's the translation for you. The saintly King Kadvanga, after being informed that the duration of his life would be only a moment more, at once freed himself from all material activities and took shelter of the supreme safety. Safety is there, the personality of Godhead. So what did Kadvanga exactly do, we have to ask? And the Bhagavatam, the ninth canto, explains more about this. He says, he gave up the false identification with the body, which is so full of ignorance, and he remembered, I am a servant of Krishna. This is my original position. And engaged himself in the service of Krishna. But it was apparently very intense the way he did it. Kadvanga Maharaj looked at the material manifestation and compared all this world with an imaginary town, a Fata Morgana, we say in German. I don't know how you say it in English. Reflection? Mirage. And he saw that every conditioned soul has a natural attraction and attachment for material things, but the moment one realizes that really there is another reality, the Krishna, then everything is different. But here I like very much Jagatarini's thing, Jagatarini's talk. She quoted Prabhupada and said that all of us are victimized by the material energy. It's not so easy. We are victims. She works on us. She controls us. She torments us. She doesn't really leave us any freedom, apparently. She's just so strong in our mind and our senses that the materialists worship her as God, practically, all-powerful. And many devotees also have surrendered to this understanding that, yes, God is matter. That is the utmost control. No one can escape the control. Let's be realistic, and so on. This is called Durashraya, false shelter. But how do you escape this? How do you escape the power of material desires? First of all, become conscious that they are there. That's the first step, you know. Then, but how do you? It works so hard on your heart. It's like a marionette, a puppet under Maya's control. Well, there is one problem. I know now you are all despondent. You say, Satchinandan Swami, stop your impractical lecture. You have said now, we can become immediately Krishna conscious if we become strong enough and are conscious enough of our relationship with Krishna, but that doesn't work. You have told this already for 40 years, you impractical old man. Don't continue. My dear devotees, I have something else to tell you. Don't worry. Don't stop listening. I also feel it's very difficult. I'm also not convinced with the first part of my lecture, like all of you. But here comes what convinces me and what I have seen works. Listen now very careful. I have now pressed a turning point which is possible to arrive at by a fortunate soul who has a lot of spiritual strength. It's not easy for a weak person to come to this turning point, a spiritually weak, but there is a help. When Krishna saw that he had invited the conditioned souls back to his abode, and he saw when Krishna saw no one was coming towards him, Krishna had said, "You surrender unto me." That's basically what we have heard up till now. And he saw no one is coming. So he made a special incarnation. It's Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He says, he has an offer. With a flood of tears in his eyes, Gauranga is dancing and begging the people, take the name of Krishna and you will go back to Godhead. Now this is not out of let me explain it positively. This is supported by the Bhagavatam philosophy, where there is this verse which says, O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of their transcendental knowledge. In a summary, if you can flood your consciousness with the holy names of the Lord, then it's possible. One of you was the proof. In the Nam Yagya, after the Nam Yagya, one of you came to me and said, Satchinandan Swami, I will tell to you very honestly, I have stopped to believe that Krishna consciousness works. I have stopped to believe also that one can make such a transformation that in one lifetime one can go back to Krishna. I've stopped this. I was discouraged, but when I was in that kirtan, I saw something totally different, and I experienced feelings which are totally different, and I can't really explain them, and I don't want to explain them also, because I don't want to make a concept out of this. I only knew all of a sudden I felt something which I had never felt before, and it was Krishna consciousness. I felt what you are talking about. I felt what Prabhupada is talking about. I could really see it, and it overwhelmed me, and I could only cry and stammer, and I don't know what happened, and I don't want to know what happens. I thought this was a good analysis, because it's beyond our ant brain, ant-like, you know, mraf, the capacity. So there in Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Leela, there's a very important thing which will help you to understand this a little bit more, how the chanting of the holy name can really help you. You know, the night before Mahaprabhu decided to take, but the night before Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he was in a very grave mood. He knew that if he would leave the devotees from Navadvip, they would be so heartbroken that they would die. He knew his mother would die. He knew all of the devotees would die just when they would find out the Lord had left them. Because you don't know, a sannyasi, according to the strictest rules or the traditional rules, can never go back to his hometown. It's not allowed for him. It's really, he has died. That's the idea for the material society. So, Gauranga Mahaprabhu was in a difficulty. He sat down at the Ganga, and by his incredible Shakti, he informed everyone in Navadvip, come, I wish to see you, and I wish to help you. So no one knew, but everyone, even the atheists who had previously offended him, felt an urge in their heart. I don't know where, but I'm going. Yeah, Ganga. Yeah, Mahaprabhu is there. Nima, yes, I go. Everyone came. Right? Like rivers, the people came, because Gauranga Mahaprabhu loved them so much that he worked now in their hearts and pulled them to him. A great crowd came together, and everyone bought a garland like this. I think I said we heard about this on Nityananda's appearance day. Mahaprabhu garlanded each one in turn, so that really everyone was garlanded. And then, with this garland, he gave them a commission, an empowerment. He said, sing the names of Krishna. Sing those names of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Think of Krishna. Speak of Krishna. Don't stop even while sleeping, eating, or waking. And walking. Think of Krishna and chant his name. This is Mahaprabhu's emphasis. If you can chant like this, that's your turning point. That's where you may enter Krishna consciousness. And my dear devotees, I really want to tell you, I have seen this with my own eyes happening. You know, we were in this Moscow concert. You can see it's on videos. We are trying to get the videos and put them on the web page also. There is this one video where the devotee had asked me to do an artik to Sisi Gonitai on the altar, and there was this one kirtan. I don't know who sang this kirtan, but it doesn't matter, because Krishna can appear in any kirtan. And all of a sudden, I could see waves of people, you know, and they climbed on each other. And the next thing I saw, I looked at, I was doing the arati, that Gornitai was just going like whoop and whoop and whoop and whoop. They started to move on the altar. And then, not only I have seen it, others have seen it. They jumped from the altar and came to the places where these waves, these wave mountains built, and they were present there. 33 people lost their consciousness on this day. I think most probably they were the blessed ones, the fortunate ones, who really made an overwhelming spiritual experience and lost it. Hare Krishna. Some mercy was there in that kirtan. And if you see the videos, it is impressive. It is, you can see. So this urgency to come to the turning point of Krishna consciousness has always been made by our acharyas. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and I'm almost finished, also preached with this urgency. There was once a big festival in Mayapur, and he was sitting on the veranda before his room, and people came to say goodbye to him. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. There were a few students, you know, a small group of people. It was not a big Mayapur festival. He said to them, "Don't cheat me, you people. You have come here with the understanding that you will engage yourselves in the service of Krishna. And I have entered into some relationship with you. Now, don't go back. Don't leave this place to engage in your worldly affairs. Come to the turning point." He forbade them to go. They said, but we have to end our studies. Or others said, but we are family men. And then he said, I mean, he eventually allowed everyone to return and invited them back, but he wanted to make a point, come to the turning point, which is really an inner point. It is not about not going anywhere. It's an inner point where you have to arrive at. Huh? He said he wouldn't even accept a delay if someone would say, "I have an important business, like extinguishing the fire at home." He said, "There is no necessity of extinguishing the fire. It may burn the whole world, but it will not do any harm to you. You do not lose anything. Rather, you will be saved if that burned world leaves your mind. All your inner necessities are met only at the holy feet of Krishna, where you can find the whole reservoir of all mercy, all rasa. Let this whole world be dissolved to zero." I'm just speaking now a little bit strong to you, because I have birthday, I can say anything today. The Red Indians say, if you tell the truth, you need a fast horse to run away, you know. So today I don't need a horse. I have birthday. Yes. And please understand, this is not an external thing. Like leaving something external. When it's here, it's here. Even if you run to the desert of the Sahara, you have to come here to the turning point, not there. Oh Krishna, I'm yours. But it's not so easy to find that point. I think you must agree, it's difficult. And I again and again come to this saving grace and how to do it. It is coming into the chanting in all seriousness and learning to chant more and more and making the holy name more and more one's priority in life, making it more and more, you know, starting to more and more accept Krishna in one's life, vishi, gradually, more and more, then one day it's so much that you have arrived at the turning point and you don't even know it. It happens by the power of the blessings of Gauranga and the holy name. There is a verse which I very much like. Yata yata gaura padara vinde vindeta bhaktim krita punya rashi tata tatot sarpati ridayakasmat radha radha padamboja sudamburashi. As much as you devote yourself to the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga, to that extent you will automatically be able to taste the nectarian service of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan. As much, or to the degree, or to the extent where you can devote yourself to Gauranga and his merciful process, to that degree you will relish the eternal seva of Srimati Radhika. That is there, this understanding, and so on. So my message today is a message of hope. I recognize that it's not so easy to come to the turning point. Therefore, my recommendation to you is be frank and open where you are. Don't be a pretender. That will not help you. But bring more and more the nectar of the holy name into your life. Let the sunshine of Krishna, the holy name, come in, and you will see. You will see these experiences which we have talked about. That devotee who had seen something in the Naam Yakya, the people who were yesterday touched, or you will see that the experiences, and they will come more and more in your life. And as you increase these experiences and this Krishna consciousness, you will for sure experience Krishna consciousness to the highest degree. But I really want to say, don't be a pretender. It will not help you. Be real. See what is there. See even the things which are not so pleasant to look at, or which are difficult to look at, and just ask Krishna for help, and he will help you to solve them in unexpected ways, in wonderful ways. It's a message of hope. I want to also refer you to a lecture which I have entitled "A Message of Hope." It was a New Year's, not a lecture, a message, which you can find in the in Sharanagati, I think. You will find it as a message of hope. There you will hear more about this. But here today, I wanted to talk about these awakening points. I want to also say how I deal with it as a personal devotee. I have seen in my life that whenever I turn to Krishna and give whatever is there in Krishna's hand, he comes and makes unexpected and wonderful solutions, because he loves his devotees. That's how he feels. Dobro! You have made it through your lecture. Well, I didn't have a fast horse before the door. I went and discussed the subjects which I felt I can discuss today. I thank you very much for listening. Now it's entirely your day. I will do everything what you wish to do with me. You can sell me in the marketplace. I don't mind. You can say things, talk things, do things. I'm very happy about this. Thank you so much. Go Premanandi! Hari Hari Bo! I go! I also, before I give the microphone to our Ramananda, I want to say, vielen Dank, Andreas, dass du heute da bist. Andreas, mein Freund und Vermieter und Hauseigentümer, ist da und wird heute auch sprechen. He will talk today. Ich werde immer so glücklich, dich zu sehen, ob in Sacro oder hier. Haribo. Hare Krishna.